started.
But we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace, love, and mercy. Thank you for your strength. That is walking in us. Thank you for your power that is upholding us. Thank you for the liberty you have given to us. We praise forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the dominion you have given to us. Dominion over sicknesses and diseases. Dominion over sin and the nature of sin. Dominion over Satan and his agents. Thank you for the dominion you have given to us. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for all the miracles of healings and the deliverances you have performed in our lives through this program. Thank you because you're going to do more miracles in our lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the things you have been teaching us through this program. Thank you for helping us to obey the teachings and to do your will. Thank you, Lord. Oh Lord, that so would be looking at your word again, minister life to everyone. Let your word revive our souls, spirit, and bodies in the name of Jesus. Let your word edify everyone. Let your word enlighten everyone in the name of Jesus. Let your healing flow to every life that are here right now, and those that will still join. Let your healing flow to everyone. Let your deliverance flow to everyone. Let your victories flow to every life in the name of Jesus. Of your way in our midst, O Lord, and let your will reveal. Thank you, Lord, for I know you're going to do beyond our expectations. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amén. We will honor every one of you to the Lord's presence. We're going to continue with our teaching from Isaiah 53. We have been looking at a topic that says, understanding Jesus in Isaiah 53. Understanding Jesus in Isaiah 53. So today we are going to be moving to verse 7. Isaiah 53, verse 7. So let us open to that, please. Open your Bibles. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Today we are going to be looking at this verse. He opened not his mouth. So we're going to be looking at understanding Jesus in Isaiah 53, part 5, understanding Jesus in Isaiah 53, part 5. Part 5. Now, we have 4 points. All points under this topic, under this topic. Point number one says he was obedient unto death. Jesus was obedient unto death. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was made to be a lamb for the slaughter, yet he did not resist that's the will of God. And there was a time he was praying. He said, Father, I pray that you take away this cup from me, but not my will, but let your will be done. Yeah, many of you are familiar with that passage. So even when it looks like he doesn't want to die, he was still obedience to the will of God. He said, not my will, but that your will be done. He was obedient unto death. So he knew he had to die. He knew that his destiny was to die young. Yeah, and when it was time for that part of his destiny to suffer, he did not struggle with God. He did not struggle with his calling, with his destiny. He willingly laid down his life. So he had the power to not lay down his life. Yeah, he had the power to refuse. Yeah, but because of his obedience, Britain gave up his life. So he was obedient unto death. What are the things we need to learn from this character and nature of Jesus? What can we learn from the obedient son of Jesus? We can learn. We can learn how, I mean, we can learn from how he knew his end, and yet he gave himself to everything that would that is going to happen to end his life. He knew how he was going to die, and he knew he was going to die. And yet, he gave himself to that death, to take him. He gave himself to death, to take him. He handed over himself to the affliction. You know, the Bible says he was afflicted. He was oppressed. So Jesus gave himself over to those things. He had the power to not go through any of those things. He had the power to not go through the beatings, the wounds, the nailing on the cross. He had the power to not go through all the humiliation and disgrace and shame. Yeah, because it was a very shameful thing. He had the power to not go through the disgrace and the shame and the pain and the humiliation and the affliction and the oppression. But even because it was the will of God, he willingly handed himself over to those things to go through those things. Yeah, so that is one thing we can learn from Jesus. According to Isaiah 53, verse 7. Because many Christians today tend to fight against the will of God, especially when it is not convenient to their flesh, especially when that will of God is not pleasant, is not comfortable to their flesh. They tend to fight against that will, and they tend to refuse to surrender to the will of God. Now, because it doesn't agree with what they want for themselves. Yeah. I don't regard such people as Christians. Yeah. They are just Christians in the mouth. They are not Christians in the heart. Yeah, Christianity is not about following your own will. It's all about rejecting your own will to obey God's will. That is what Christianity is all about. So do you come to the point where you say, God, I do not follow my will anymore. I follow your own will. Then you are not yet a Christian. Because the person who established this Christianity, and we know him, his name is Jesus, also had to make that decision at a point in his life. Yeah, he had to make a decision to follow the will of God 100%. Even if it doesn't line up with his own will. And I want you to understand that Jesus is a righteous man. And there's no way Jesus is going to have a desire that is sinful, that is unrighteous. Because he himself by nature, himself is righteousness of God. But despite that, he still will not do anything without talking to his Father. Jesus would not do anything. In fact, he would not preach any message without confirming from God. Without confirming with God, if that is what he should say. Remember he said in the scripture, he said, everything I do is what I see the Father doing. He said, the messages I give, the teachings I give, is what the Father has commanded me to say, to preach, to teach. So he doesn't do anything of his own, despite the fact that he himself is a righteous man, and there's no way you would desire him, but yet he surrendered his will completely to embrace the will of God. He laid down his will completely to embrace the will of God. Yeah. And you, who say you are following Jesus, have you laid down your will to embrace God's will? Yeah. You have to answer the question in your heart. because the person we are following lived down that example. We have to follow the example too. So he was obedient unto death. He was obedient unto death. It is not all the affliction that we experience that is from the devil. It is not all the oppression, the hardships, the problems that we go through that is from the devil. Some are from God. Because Jesus was also oppressed. Maybe I should read it again for you. Because sometimes some pastors, they confuse people with their messages. Let me read it for you. Isaiah. Isaiah 53 verse 7. He was oppressed. Now this is Jesus. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. Yeah. Did you hear that? Or did you see that? So if Jesus was oppressed, because it was the will of God for that to happen, then who are you to refuse oppression that comes from God? Who are you to refuse affliction that comes from God? Yeah, so there are oppressions that comes from God. Now when I say come from God, I mean God allow it to happen to you for a purpose. It's not that God did it himself. It's not that God did it on you directly, but God allowed you to go through them on purpose. There are some afflictions that is from God. It's not from the devil. God allowed it to happen to you on purpose. Yeah, just as he allowed those things to happen to Jesus on purpose. Because he wants to bring out great power, great victory from it. But many Christians, they don't even want to go through any painful thing. They just want everything to be nice. That is not Christianity. Everything is not going to be nice. Or maybe I should put it this way, everything should not be nice. For Christians, everything should not be nice for Christians. Why? Because God has great purpose for us. He has great plans for us. And much of those plans will not come to pass if we don't pass through several oppressions, afflictions, and trials and tribulations, even persecutions. Because God uses those things to train us, to break us down, to remold us, to build us, to help us get matured, to empower us. The kind of empowerment I have received during pains and afflictions, and I have not been able to receive it when I was not in pains and affliction. I don't know if you're getting my point. There is some empowerment that cannot happen to you from heaven until you have passed through fire, until you have passed through hard times. Those visitations and empowerment from God, they will come during hard times. Not when things are okay, I mean physically okay. Not those times, but when things seem to be very difficult and very painful, that is when those empowerment from heaven used to come. You can read more about these things in the letters, epistles of Apostle Paul. Take time to read the epistles of Apostle Paul, and you will see how many times he referred to these tribulations, persecutions, afflictions, sufferings that happened to him and his team, and how they had been encouraged and strengthened and empowered through those things that happened to them. In fact, how they were transformed through those things they went through. So there are some transformation that will not happen to you except you have to go through Christians are running away from tough times, and yet they want to fulfill their callings. And they want to fulfill God's purpose, and yet you are running away from pains, from tribulations, from attacks, from persecutions, from battles. You are running away from what God wants to use to fulfill his purpose in your life. Then how would that purpose be fulfilled? If Jesus had run away from the cross, from going to the cross, how will you have salvation? Yeah, so be ready and be willing to embrace everything God's purpose for your life entails. Yeah, at the point I used to reject sufferings, afflictions that I know comes from God. But when I came to my senses, I stopped rejecting those things. I now begin to embrace them because I now see them as opportunities to know God, to encounter God, to see God in a higher level. And that was what began to happen to me. I cannot tell you all that I have gone through. I've gone through terrible things. But I know some of you might not believe. You might feel like that this man is exaggerating. He hasn't gone through anything. Well, my prayer is that you will not go through what I have gone through. Now, that's my prayer. Because I don't think many of you can survive the things I have gone through. with the Lord. Let's continue. Sorry about that. As I was saying, I cannot pray that you go through those things. Yeah, because you might not have the strength to actually be there. Yeah. You might not have the strength to bear them because they were very, very painful situations, very tough situations, very challenging situations, and in fact, some of them were very deadly, very deadly situations. I mean, deadly. Yeah, but in all of those situations, I saw God. Yeah, I saw God. And he helped me. He saw me through. He blessed me. He saved me. He healed me. He delivered me. Yeah. I saw him in all of those situations. And those situations led me to know God more. I got more revelations about him. Many of the things that I know today that I teach that people celebrate and they say, wow, that was a powerful revelation. Wow, that was great wisdom. Many of them, I learned them in pains, or I learned them when I was in very unpleasant situations. Yeah, very unpleasant situations. So we should not be running away from unpleasant situations as Christians. We should not run away from tough times, especially when it's from God. Now, some of you might be asking, how do I know if the things I'm going through is from God? If the tough times I'm going through is from God, how do I know? Well, if you have a solid and strong relationship with God, you are going to know. Yeah, if you hear from God, you will know that God actually allowed those things to happen to you. It's not as if God does not have the power to take them away. It's not as if it's not like it's your fault or it's because you haven't prayed enough or fasted enough. It's just that God wants you to go through them. Of course, there are some other things that is not from God that you have to pray distracted from God. I mean, there are some unpleasant situations that is probably from God, and there are some that is from the enemy, and God expects that you pray and overcome. Yeah, but to know the difference, you have to build a strong relationship with God. You'll be able to know the difference. For instance, Apostle Paul prayed concerning the health challenge in his life. He said he prayed 3 times that God should take it away. But God then, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. So God told him that his grace is sufficient. God told him to not worry about that challenge in his body. That the challenge will not be able to stop him from living the normal Christian life and from fulfilling his calling and ministry. Yeah, that was what God meant by saying, my grace is sufficient. That is, I don't want to take away this challenge in your body, but I will handle it for you. You just continue to please me. Yeah, so Apostle Paul was able to know the difference because he was close to God and can hear from God. Yeah, so my point is that after you have known that God wants you to go through something difficult because of his purpose for your life, you should not resist. Yeah, after you have known that it is the will of God that you go through certain things, because you know by the Spirit of God that is in you, you know that it is the will of God for you to go through some things that appears to be uncomfortable, inconvenient, painful, or difficult, or tough, or shameful. After you have known that it is the will of God that you go through those things, you should not disobey. You should not resist. Yeah, I pray that you will be wise. Do not reject the process God wants you to go through to change your life. Yeah. Because we know that these things God allows us to go through, we know they are not permanent. They are just for a short time. We know that they are to usher us into glory. They are to lead us into glory. We know that. Yeah. So if you don't willingly go through such processes, you are running away from the glory, even the same glory you have been fasting and praying for. So you will not run away from the glory God has prepared for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. So let us read a place in Philippians. Yeah, it's a common place. Philippians Verse 5 to 8. Philippians 2, 5 to 8. Philippians 2, verse 5 to 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself, he became obedient unto death. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So, point of view. He was meek. A point number one was obedient unto death. For those of you that joined late, point number two says he was meek unto death. He was meek, that is M-E-E-K, meek, to be meek. Yeah, he was meek on the so.
Praise
the Lord. Praise the Lord. The network is connected. The network. The next talk is connected. So I was in point number two, which says he was meek unto death. Jesus was meek unto death. So what does it mean to be meek? What does it mean to be meek? There is one characteristic of meekness That is. Using to repair and lead. Refusing to repair. That's a very unique characteristic of meekness, or is that is the that is a virtue that we must find in anyone that is meek. Yeah, it's a virtue we must find in anyone that is meek, and that virtue is refusing to retaliate. Yeah, and that virtue was demonstrated by Jesus when he was arrested, when he was beaten. He took away his clothes. Yeah, he was naked. Though maybe not completely naked. Yeah, maybe his private parts were covered, but they took away his clothes. Yeah, he went through those painful situations. Yet, he did not fight back. He was even praying for the people that were oppressing him. He didn't fight back. Meekness. Yeah. Do not retaliate when you have the power to do so. That is meekness. Yeah, I know there are some people that they are being oppressed, and the reason is because they don't have the power to fight back. They don't have the power to conquer the oppressors. Yeah, but that was not the case of Jesus. He had the power to deal with the oppressors, but he chose not to do that. So that is what it means to be meek. So don't think you are meek when you don't have the power to actually retaliate. Yeah, don't think or don't call yourself a meek person when you don't have the power to get revenge. Yeah, you are a meek person when you have the power to revenge and to retaliate, but yet you chose not to do that. Yeah, that is what makes you a meek person. Yeah, when you willingly go through the humiliation, yeah, and you just let it pass, and you did not see anything, you did not react. Yeah, maybe someone spoke in some someone spoke abusive words to you or insulted you, and then you just kept your mouth shut. Yeah, so you know you could respond. That is meekness. Or someone just gave you a slap for no reason. And you know, you could slap back. You could slap the person back. But you did not. That is meekness. That's the example with Jesus. He called us to follow. Yeah. Because that was how he went to the cross. He was meek unto them. It's actually more difficult for someone that have the power to retaliate, to be meek. But it wasn't difficult for Jesus. Yeah. It wasn't difficult for Jesus. So you should be careful to not fight back when God wants to reveal his glory through what some people do to you. Maybe some people, for no reason, hurt you, or they, for no reason, they hurt you, they abused you, insulted you. Yeah. Maybe some people did that to you for no reason. And you were thinking of fighting back immediately, or reacting immediately, or getting angry. And God doesn't want you to do that, because God wants to reveal his glory through the situation. Yeah, but since you did not let God do the fighting for you, you did not let God take the vengeance for you, then God is not going to do that again. Since you decided to do the fighting by yourself, then God is not going to do the fighting for you. Yes. Of course, there are some cases where God actually wants you to fight back, but maybe not directly. Of course, you're not expected to fight as Christians. But maybe God wants you to report to the police, to report the situation to those in authority. Yeah, of course, there are some cases like that. Yeah. But there are other cases where God wants you to do nothing. He wants you to do nothing, because he himself wants to take the vengeance. He himself wants to deal with them in his own time. So you should be wise to let God do that. I pray you will be wise. Let us see what the Bible says about meekness. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit What does that mean? Why would a meek person inherit the kingdom? Why would he say the person will inherit the kingdom? Now, because God sent a meek person A unique person will inherit the hand because God can trust him or her. God can trust such person with great power, with great authority. So it is that we hand over the head to such person. Is the Lord. Yeah, he said, what does the Bible mean by blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth? Yeah, and I said, it is because God can trust the meek, God can entrust great things into the hands of a meek person. Yeah, because if you read Psalm 24, I think Psalm 24 verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Yeah, so the earth is actually the Lord's. Yeah, so nobody can inherit the head except God gives the head to that person. Yeah, so the meek will inherit the head because God can trust him or her. So if you are always easily provoked to anger, you are not meek. You are not meek. If you are not humble, you are not meek. A meek person will be humble. A meek person is not easily provoked to anger. And even when provoked, you will not retaliate. You will not retaliate. You will not take revenge. That is who a meek person is. A meek person is not proud. A meek person does not boast. A meek person does not even show his what. Yeah. A meek person don't speak of his words, as in, let's say I'm a billionaire and I want hundreds of billions. Yeah, let's say I want hundreds of billions of money. If I am meek, I will not show it. People will not even know. It's not that I will not help people. I will help a lot of people. But I will not show it in the way I live, in my lifestyle, in my dressing. There's no way I will show that I am expensive. Yeah. So because of such characteristics, such beautiful things about meekness, that is why God can entrust the whole head to a meek man. God can give the whole head to a meek man because he knows that that man will not fail. So God can give all the power he has to a meek man, because he knows the man will not fail him. Yeah, some time ago I asked the question when I was doing prophetic training classes. I asked those students, I said, if God gives you the same power he gave Elijah, will you be able to handle it well? I said, if God gives you the power to make food items multiply, if God gives you the power to make money multiply, and you can literally multiply things, how will you handle that power? Yeah, so there are some of you here, if God gives you some level of power, you're going to disappoint him because you are not meek. In fact, there are some of you here, if God gives you some level of wealth, you're going to mess up. You're going to seriously mess up. And you're going to seriously fail him because you are not meek. But if you want God to give you many things, be meek like Jesus. Make a covenant with your soul to be meek. You know, sometimes people want me to, they want me to be boastful, to be proud. Yeah, because of some few things they got to know about me. So they feel like, if you are this powerful, if you are this great, why are you hiding yourself? Why are you so gentle? Yeah. I should put myself out there. Start making noises of who I am and of what I can do. Yeah. But I have understood that that is not meekness. Yeah. There are many things that I can't even say in the public about myself. Yeah. I want God to say it in the public, to show it in the public, because to me it doesn't make sense talking about myself. Yeah, it makes sense when God talk about you through a lot of signs and wonders. Yeah, but I know who I am, and I know what I can do. I know what I'm capable of. Yeah, so when you are meek, you will not even show what you want. You will not even show how powerful you are. Yeah, you won't show it. So it takes a lot of sacrifice to be meek. But if you decide to be meek, my brother, my sister, you will receive a lot from God. I'm telling you, God will not be able to withhold anything from you. Anything you ask, he will do it. Let us move to point number three. Point number three is his eyes was fixed on the solution and not the problem. His eyes, that is the eyes of Jesus, was fixed on the solution and not on the problem. Yeah, he was thinking about how to save the world from sin, how to save human beings from sin. So he knows that what he had to go through is because of the sin that is in men, the sin that is in humans. So he was not looking at the present suffering. I mean, he was not looking at the suffering he had to go through. He was looking at what will come out of that suffering. He was looking at the solution that is about to be revealed. He was not looking at the problem. He was looking at the solution. Yeah, and he knows that he must go through the sorrow, the pains, for the solution to come. Yeah, some of you are looking for solution before going through pain. What if the solution will come as you go through the pain, not before going through the pain? Yeah. Yeah, so some of you don't want to go through the pain. So you are crying for solution. What if the solution is inside the pain? What if the solution will come as you go through the pain? So Jesus knew that he had to go through that. So his joy is in the solution that the sacrifice will produce. That was his joy. That was his comfort. So when you go through challenging times, you go through all manner of problems, let your joy be in the solution that God is going to give you. Don't fix your eyes on the problem. Fix your eyes on the solution that God have already placed inside that situation, that unpleasant situation you are going through. The solution is already there. Maybe you are going through poverty or sickness or disease. Whatever you are going through that is negative, the solution is already there. So as you go through it, stay connected with God. Jesus was connected with God. They were beating him. They were oppressing him, insulting him. Yet, he was connected with God. So when you go through trying times, stay connected with God. So you can see that the only time he was so, the only time he shouted on the cross was when God's presence left him. He shouted, he said, my Father, why do you forsake me? Why have you forsaken me? Yeah, because throughout all that he went through, he was connected with the Father. Yeah, but it was at that moment that he died, when he cried out. Yeah, so my point is that let your eyes be on the solution and not on the problem. And the solution is in your connection with God. The solution to your problems is in your relationship with God. So stay connected, even if it appears that the whole world is against you or everything is against you. Stay connected with your Creator, because the solution will come from that connection. The solution to your problem will come as you stay connected with Him. Let us read 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. Or maybe I should start from verse 17. 2 Corinthians 4 from verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So everything that we go through here is temporal. So let us stay connected with the unseen realm. That is where your deliverance will come. The realm of God. Now let's move to point number 4. The last point. He forgives those who doesn't deserve forgiveness. Jesus forgave those who doesn't deserve forgiveness. Remember the prayer he prayed on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And even today, Jesus is still forgiving many, despite what we do to Him every hour. Yeah. A lot of us, whether believers or unbelievers, we offend God a lot. Yet, He forgives us. Yeah, He forgives those who do not deserve forgiveness. Yeah. So if Jesus can forgive those who don't deserve forgiveness, why is it so difficult for you to forgive the people that have offended you? If Jesus can forgive you, who don't deserve forgiveness? Why is it difficult for you to forgive those who have offended you? Now, some people will say, if he comes to beg me to apologize, that is when I will forgive him. Or if she comes to beg me and apologize, that is when I will forgive him. That is not by glitter. Yeah. It's not by glitter. Jesus forgave those who were not apologizing. Or you have not read it in your Bible. They knew him on the cross. They were mocking him. And yet he prayed. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Yeah. He forgave them. So they don't deserve to be forgiven. Yeah, but yet he forgave them. Then why is it hard for you to forgive? You don't need to wait for anyone to come and pay for what they have done against you. You don't need to wait for them to come and beg you to come up, to come and apologize and say sorry. You don't need that. You need to forgive them from your heart. That is when God will also forgive you. I won't be able to read that place, but I will tell you where it is. In Mark. Chapter 11. Mark 11, verse 25 to 26. Mark 11, verse 25 to 26. You're going to see Jesus saying that if you don't forgive, your Father in heaven will not also forgive you. So let us forgive. In fact, some people, their sicknesses could not go until they forgave the people that offended them. I mean, they couldn't get healed. Despite many prayers and many treatments, all kinds of treatments, they still did not get healed until they forgave those who offended them, those they have held in their heart, until they forgive those people. That was when they got healed. So maybe your deliverance, your healing, is in the fact that there's someone or some people you have not yet forgiven. So when you leave this program today, go and forgive those people. Go and forgive those people so that God can show you mercy. So we are going to stop here with the teaching and continue next Tuesday. Yeah, we'll move to next Tuesday. So now we're going to be praying. And I want you to up to God. We need to say, Father, forgive me for not fully embracing your will and purpose for my life, especially when it has to do with enduring afflictions, especially when it has to do with going through tough times. You can say, Father, forgive me of not fully embracing your will for my life. Open your mouth and pray like that. Say, Father, forgive me for not fully embracing your will for my life. Especially when it comes to doing the things that is not pleasant to my flesh. Especially when your will demands that I do things that my flesh doesn't want. Say, Father, forgive me for not doing those things. Forgive me for not embracing your will in totality. Forgive me for not enduring afflictions that you wanted me to endure. I hope you are praying. This is a very serious and important prayer. Father, forgive me for not enduring the afflictions, the problems you wanted me to endure for a short time. Forgive me for running away from responsibilities and duties and assignments because I felt it would be too much of a stress and of a burden for me. Say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me for refusing to embrace your will in totality. Forgive me for refusing to do things that you wanted me to do. Forgive me for preferring my own comfort above your own desire. Say, Father, forgive me for preferring my own convenience above doing what you want. Forgive me for preferring my own job, my own business, above your own job, your own business. Say, Father, forgive me for not fully embracing your will for my life, especially when it comes to enduring pains and sufferings and afflictions that comes with following your will. Forgive me, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. You can see in that verse that we read, Isaiah 53 verse 7. It says that Jesus did not open his mouth while he went through all of those oppression and afflictions. Some of you, when you went through tough times, you opened your mouth and you said all sorts of rubbish against God. You said all sorts of negative things that shouldn't come out of your mouth. Yeah, you're going to ask God to forgive you. And then you're going to ask for grace to not do that anymore. So you're going to say, Father, forgive me for whatever negative things I said when I was going through or when I went through afflictions and sufferings. You might not have said those things against God. Maybe you said those things against yourself or against anyone. Yeah. But it was wrong in the sight of God. So you're going to say, Father, forgive me for whatever I uttered from my mouth that was wrong during the time of afflictions and sufferings and things. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. And then say, Father, help me to learn to shut up my mouth when I go through unpleasant situations. Say, help me to learn to shut up my mouth. Continue to pray like that. Say, Father, give me grace to keep my mouth shut from saying negative things when I go through unpleasant circumstances. Say, Father, forgive me for whatever I have said against you during the time of my challenges, problems, sufferings, whatever murmuring, whatever complaining, whatever negative things I said. Oh Lord, forgive me. I repent. Forgive me, Lord. And then you're going to say, Father, give me grace to keep my mouth shut from saying any negative thing when I have to go through tough times. Give me grace to keep my mouth shut. Give me grace to keep my mouth shut. Give me grace to control my tongue from saying negative things when I have to go through difficult times. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now, the last prayer point before I will pray for you and on your water. You're going to talk to God. Just as I said, that there is solutions in every problem. God has placed solutions right there. In deep darkness, there is a great light. A great light. So in whatever you're going through, the solutions are there already. So you're going to say, Lord Jesus, reveal your solutions. Reveal your solutions that are already in whatever unpleasant situations I go through or I'm going through. The Lord Jesus, reveal the solutions now. Connect me with the solutions that you have already placed in the situations I'm going through. Open your mouth and pray like that. The Lord Jesus, manifest the solutions, the way out, the breakthroughs, the victories, the successes, the deliverance that you have already placed in my present situation, in my activity, in my oppression, in my suffering. Say, Lord Jesus, reveal the solutions you have already placed there. Mind you, the oppression and the affliction Jesus went through was just for a short time. Eventually, he rose from the grave. He rose from the dead. And he became eternally invincible. So no power could arrest him. Who can arrest the wind? Who can imprison the wind? No one. So eventually, he became invincible. He became indestructible. It became unconquerable. But you have to go through the oppression and the affliction. So God has placed in whatever situation you are going through the solutions. So the solution to Jesus' affliction was in the grave. He had to enter the grave. And that was when everything turned around. Ask God to connect you with the solutions he has already placed in the situation you are going through. The solution is there. The light is there. The breakthrough is there. The healing is there. The deliverance is there. Say, Lord Jesus, connect me now with the solutions you have placed in the situations I'm going through right now. Connect me with the freedom you have placed inside my captivities. Connect me with the healing you have placed inside my sickness. Connect me with the deliverance, the transformation, the blessings, the helps, the breakthroughs. Connect me now. In the name of Jesus, connect me with the prosperity. Connect me, Lord, with the prosperity, with the abundance you have placed inside my lap and poverty. Connect me now. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I believe your water is ready for prayers. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for your love and compassion. Thank you for your mercies toward us. Be exalted forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your grace that has been working mighty things in our lives and situations. Thank you for those testimonies we have right now. Testimonies of your power. Be exalted forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for doing things in our lives that we don't deserve. Thank you for doing great things, wonderful things in our lives and situations. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for those that you healed during the last Healing Streams program. We thank you for those that you delivered. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that you look upon your people right now. Give them their heart desires according to your will for them in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, touch everyone right now. Lay your hands upon their head. Let the hand of God come upon your head right now. In Jesus' name, as the hand of God comes upon your head, let your chains be broken. Let sicknesses run out of you. Let demons run out with fear. In Jesus' name, every affliction and sufferings and oppression and possession of darkness in your life that is not permitted by God, I command them to end right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that the fire of the Holy Ghost possess the water you have placed before the Lord right now. In the name of Jesus, let the healing power of Jesus, the deliverance power of Jesus, and the transforming power of Jesus, together with the fire of the Holy Ghost, enter into this water right now to do great and mighty things in your life and in the life of what testimonies of God's power. In the name of Jesus. And as a matter of fact, you shall have so many testimonies that everyone around you will come to you to ask, what is your secret? In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered these prayers. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' unfailing name, I have prayed. Amen.